Welcome to Fantasy Football Almost Daily. I'm Paul Jarchian. It's a waiver wire edition with my co-host Scott Fish. Hello.
Hello.
It's got one big name at the top for the waiver wire this week.
And Ryan Tannehill.
He's well, you stole my thunder.
Oh.
I was going to secretly work him in as 1B that nobody knows, but.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now everybody knows.
Oh.
But that's fine. We'll get to Tannehill in a minute and my unnatural man love for him. But let's start with Calvin Ridley. And not just the impact of Calvin Ridley and why you want to pick him up, but what this means for Julio Jones. Because I think this is not necessarily a good thing.
Well, the Falcons finally got the wide receiver, too, they always needed.
Yeah.
Julio Jones.
Yeah, right. I like the way you put it. All right, well, let's start with Ridley. He's clearly the best player available in most leagues, and even then, he's about 60% available. So there's a coin flips chance that he's available in at least one of your leagues, and he's going to be the guy that catches a lot of attention. When you score three touchdowns, that will happen. You have as many touchdowns as Julio Jones has all of last year and this year. Although I think he might have had one in the playoffs, so I think he might, in sneaky fashion, have four touchdowns in his last, 19, 20 games.
Well, Ridley has four in his last two games.
Either way. Looking at Ridley, by the way, it was basically invisible week one, and then he did a little something week two. He scored the touchdown, and fortunately he did, because some people jumped on him right then. Then, of course, the explosion in week three. Probably will not top that for the rest of this year.
Maybe his career.
He might not have another three touchdown game. Right. It's not impossible. Although Ridley looks like he'll have a long career here.
Yeah.
So let's. One of the things, he's got the Bengals this week. The Bengals have one really good cornerback, William Jackson. He's going to almost certainly end up on
Julio
Jones, right? So now you get like a Dre Kirkpatrick matchup on Calvin Ridley, and that's beatable. Then the week after that, Steelers, a reeling secondary. Week after that, Bucks, also a bottom five secondary, riddled with injuries. Ridley's got a long run of startability beginning this week.
Well, it seems like your bidding recommendation here is a little low for how you paint that picture. Sounds like a guy everyone should want on their radar.
I might up it. Currently, my bidding recommendation is 25%. But, that's a quarter of your budget on one guy, and he's a wide receiver. And it's a lot. But I think if you want Ridley, what do you have to bid?
More like 40%.
I think it's going to have to be closer to 40%.
Yep.
So at 40%, I'm tapping out. I'm really excited about him.
Yeah.
But I'm tapping out at 40%. I don't want to put 40% into Calvin.
Matt Ryan can go back to looking like Matt Ryan week one.
Right.
It's possible.
What if he goes back to targeting Julio like crazy, like he did in week one?
Yeah.
We're only two games removed from that. So I don't
think this is like a Frisman Jackson situation. I think
he's a first round talent.
Yes.
Yes.
He's legit. Not. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. Other receivers of note after Ridley, if you don't get Ridley, and like I just said, I probably wouldn't get Ridley. The 40% style bids to me are usually running backs, for one thing. But that's maybe because I'm the opposite guy.
Right.
I need to mine the waiver wire for runners. Tyler Boyd's available in 76% of leagues and has now posted two big back-to-back games. He's got the Falcons. They've given up five wide receiver touchdowns the last 2 weeks. And he's a third-year guy, and Boyd did nothing those first 2 years, so I was skeptical. But, for a lot of receivers, it just takes 3 years.
It does. It does.
He's also a slot guy, which I think really limits his upside. You know who Tyler Boyd is killing? It's Eifert. A lot of that, now they're getting production from the slot position.
It's also not helping that Eifert is splitting snaps with three tight ends somehow.
I don't understand that either.
Yeah.
As we all know, it's a brutal year for tight end help.
Yeah.
Where, I kid you not, Kyle Rudolph's been the best tight end, potentially. Most consistent tight end.
He's one of only 10 players in the NFL, or 9 players, that have posted a top 12 week every week this season.
We'll go with the most consistent, Kyle Rudolph.
Very consistent.
Yep. So Tyler Boyd, I think it's worth. I'm on board now.
Yep.
AJ Green's got the groin injury, and that may keep him out of this week's very favorable matchup. Falcons, by the way, both starting safeties done for the year.
It's been terrible. Geez. It's been crushing them for running back receiving too. They were already bad. Now they're just worse.
Yeah. John Brown, somebody we've talked about in the past, 52% available. I think he's kind of like the wide receiver one for the Ravens right now, and it's not Michael Crabtree.
It's always been illness with him. It hasn't been talent, and the Ravens are scoring like 30-plus points a game for 10 or 11 straight games. The 32 points, I think, is their average.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, healthy, playing great, fully motivated. John Brown, my bidding recommendation, 15%. Antonio Callaway is inconsistent, as most rookie receivers are, but – he's the starter, and now
I will say this was technically his first start, right? Kind of so.
Yeah.
And I do like that he had 5 targets from Mayfield, 5 from Tyrod, and 5 from Mayfield. So it showed that like it wasn't all one quarterback or the other. He stayed out there, and Mayfield actually looked his way.
And actually, you know, and I think clearly gets an upgrade at quarterback, which is no knock on Tyrod Taylor.
No.
Numerous people hypothesizing that Tyrod Taylor should be shipped to
San Francisco,
and I'm on board with that. They've got Drew Stanton as their backup quarterback, so they've got a functional veteran who can be a backup in Cleveland. And Cleveland's for years now has been all about stockpiling picks.
Mm-hmm.
If San Francisco wants to salvage any thoughts about the playoffs, this is the kind of move I think they would need to make.
That's my concern, though, is did the 49ers actually think they were going to compete this year? Like,
yeah, they did. Are you kidding? They won 5 or 6 straight at the end of the year, right?
No, I should say at this point, do they think that?
No.
They might think no matter what quarterback they have, maybe we make the playoffs and then we'll lose. So should we spend anything?
Yeah, that's a great point. Tyrod Taylor is not going to lead you to a Super Bowl.
Right.
All right, speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to my guy, Ryan Tannehill. Winner of 10 of his last 11 starts. How about that?
That's crazy. I had to look that up. That's
even
unreal.
Even crazier, with a win this week, he leads the Dolphins to a 3-game cushion over the Patriots and the tiebreaker.
Wow. Yeah.
How about that?
That's
here's
unreal.
A guy who comes Dolphins. In from 650 days off and goes 2 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns.
And he barely
and nobody
throws the
wants
ball.
Him. Barely you know what his ownership is 8%. Nobody wants Ryan Tannehill. And you're right, he does it on the fewest passes of any starting quarterback.
We should have seen it, right? He's improved every single year he's been in the NFL.
Yeah. He has. And Adam Gase, I think, took a lot of heat last year, but he coaxed functionability out of a retired quarterback.
Yeah.
In Jay Cutler.
Even Matt Moore, too.
And Matt Moore, right. And now look what he's doing with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
So I'm fully on board with Tannehill. And the volume at some point will probably go up from the league's lowest volume of passes. And he suddenly has weapons all over the place. Not only is it your guy Kenny Stills, but he's got Albert Wilson. He's got Jakeem Grant. There's talent for him to throw to.
Yeah. Man, Jakeem the Dream, he just makes plays. If only Devontae Parker could be anything.
He doesn't even need to be anymore.
I know.
Which is great. I'm bidding 10% on Ryan Tannehill, which is, I think, all you have to bid. I think he's actually worth more than that. See, this is the opposite a little bit of the Calvin Ridley discussion. I don't think I have to pay as much to get Tannehill because so many people are bored of Tannehill.
Yep, exactly. It's like just like a stud running back that's not performing, like a David Johnson. You have to pay through the nose for him.
Yeah.
Tannehill, he has that name value that people just don't like.
I think they think of him as just sort of the ultimate plodding underproducer. You know, in their minds, they think he's 1 touchdown a game and 225 safe yards, but that's not who he is right now.
Nope.
And to his credit, bounced back so well from all of that time off.
Ride that Dolphin till the Dolphin kicks you off, I guess.
Baker Mayfield is my next quarterback, and from who I would bid on, I would put 5% on him, assuming you're not in a quarterback-heavy league. I think he's worth rostering, and I think there's some good games coming in spot starts. I think you'll have to pick what they are, but, man, I loved what I saw from him on Thursday, 2 Thursdays ago now. Well,
yeah.
One, is it 2 Thursday? One Thursday. one Thursday ago.
Right. Yeah, he's a legit pro, but you wonder if he'll be kind of Garoppolo-like, where he'll Garoppolo last year didn't get a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
But he just looked like a pro out there, and that might be Mayfield. But Mayfield does have a lot of really good weapons.
He does. Landry, Callaway. I think Njoku's got dropped in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
This is the time to go get him.
Yeah, definitely.
Josh Allen, to me, is a fun bye week guy. I would throw him on my roster for bye weeks, especially in two quarterback leagues, and just keep your fingers crossed that he runs. I don't think he's going to help us. He doesn't have any receivers. I don't think the passing is going to help us. But he's just, you know, any game could be 60 rushing yards and, like we saw last week, two touchdowns. So, I like that part of it for Josh Allen, and that's the freaky upside that rushing quarterbacks give you that others don't.
You know, I realize we passed through wide receivers. And
was there somebody I should have mentioned?
Can I just mention Christian Kirk? He worked with Josh Rosen all summer, mm-hmm. and sometimes that chemistry factors, and he had a good game last week.
Yeah.
And he's their wide receiver too. He'll be on the field.
He is. Larry Fitzgerald was injured and only had a couple of targets and a couple of catches.
Just
but
they, yeah,
I
think
I, no, I agree. I agree. Running backs. I don't want to talk about any other quarterbacks. Running backs. Aaron Jones still available in 50% of
That's
leagues.
Ridiculous.
Already look good. It'll be a timeshare all season, but he looks good. And when they need to run the ball effectively, he's going to be the guy.
God, this makes me not like McCarthy. One of the reasons I don't know. But man, Aaron Jones, he looks so much better.
He's seven yards per carry in his first game.
It's unreal. I've mentioned the stats of how many 10-plus yard runs he had last year. He should be owned everywhere. And honestly, if it's anything like last year, they ended up going to one running back many times last year. I think if he can get any better in pass pro, he might just take the job.
Yeah, only seven touches in last week's game. He gets the Bills this week.
Yeah,
he could be a sleeper this week. We're already on bye weeks.
I'm not on the show this week.
Not on the show. Stupid Bunk Allen. Oh.
He's got five carries inside the five. No one else on the team has more than one.
It's ridiculous. I hate the way they use him. It drives me nuts. Still available in 60% of leagues because people have eyes and they watch him and they go, that is a plodding runner who brings nothing to the table. And so this is, why would I want to roster that guy? But it's all just about how they use him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get more than usually 10 total touches, but if they're inside the three, he's their guy.
I don't get it.
I hate Buck Allen.
I don't get it.
Naheem Hines is a frustrating player in that, when Marlon Mack is out, it seems like he's playable, and especially in PPR.
It sounds like Mack is
coming back.
Then
Mack comes back, and then you don't know what you got in him, and I think that's pretty frustrating. Yeah,
he does have a couple good matchups coming out, like the Texans, who are bad against receiving backs.
Yeah.
So there's playability there, but yeah.
What do you think about Vance McDonald?
Well, I liked him at the end of last year and going into this year.
He had a
great game last week, but it's a lot harder for me to trust just because Juju and Brown take up 25 targets a game, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Vance McDonald's going to be inconsistent, and you have to watch your plays.
Yeah, I think I liked him a lot. I liked him going into the year when I thought that he would just cleanly beat out
Jesse James.
But, then he was hurt, and Jesse James looked really good, and now they're throwing to both. And I don't know. I don't want a timeshare tight end.
No.
Speaking of timeshare tight ends, Dallas Goedert, seven receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. Do you think that has turned into a legitimate timeshare that Zach Ertz owners need to sweat?
I think this is partly a product of all their receiving options being injured. It's partly a product of just the offense. They got Burton involved a lot last year. But what I do like is this is Wentz's first game back, and he caught all seven of Wentz's passes.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't drop one. He didn't. Yeah. So that might instill some confidence going forward.
For sure. That wraps up waiver wire stuff for me. But I want to throw one other thing out that I tweeted about, at Paul Charchian, by the way. I think you should ship away Adrian right now.
That makes sense.
I'm selling high in Adrian.
It's a good time.
I'll give you three reasons. One, he can't sustain. I don't think he can sustain the level that he's played at. We saw him look really good at the beginning of the Cardinals thing, and he trailed off. Number two, it's their bye week. It's a good time to sell, right? You're not going to start him. And I love avoiding a bye weeks if you can. It's, you know, you lose because of bye weeks. Bye weeks cost games. And, you know, not having to be shorthanded is significant. And then three, he's going to get hurt. He hasn't finished a season. He's finished one of his last five seasons. One of his last five. It's just a matter of when.
That Washington
I would rather
field.
Sell too. you can only sell too high, too early on Adrian.
Right.
Because once he gets hurt, nobody wants him.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like the be a year early and gain rid of a player, then a year late.
Right.
Only in season.
In
version.
Season. Right. So I'm all for finding out what you can get out of Adrian Peterson right now.
I wonder what his value is.
I bet you can get a solid number two.
With all the running backs that are underperforming,
yes.
and or injured, I think you could get something
so
decent.
I'll give you a hypothetical. I've got Adrian. You have David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I make that offer to you.
I don't think I'm giving David Johnson, but if I'm the David Johnson owner, maybe I'm worried about enough about David mm-hmm. Johnson that I have something else of value I'll give you for Adrian. You
okay.
Know?
All right.
I don't know if I would give David, though.
You wouldn't go quite that far?
No.
Kenyon Drake.
Ooh, that's interesting, especially after such a terrible game last week. Oh, man. I'm more of a Kenyon Drake guy, but, man, I get where you're going. That's
Carlos Hyde.
Hyde gets too much volume for me to give to Adrian right now.
So does Adrian, by the way.
Yeah, he does, but it's the points you made that clear me from Hyde. I think I'm a little too inside baseball on some of these for that.
Yeah, maybe so. But I think that's the neighborhood that I think he's in the Kenyon Drake neighborhood right now.
I think he
and
is.
I think that's the sort of move that you need to be considering if you're an Adrian Peterson owner.
Yeah.
All right. That wraps up our thought. Do we have anything special that we should promote and special contest? People can play the Chase Charge contest.
Yeah, they can.
I believe this one is fanball.com/charge. You can build a lineup to compete with my lineup this week, win cash this week, and win a ticket to our big week 16 end of year tournament with a total prize of that one. What is the prize pool of that one? Do you know?
The end of season one?
Yeah, the end of season
one. I always
one.
Forget.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Like 15,000?
Yeah,
or
it's
maybe
in
more?
The 10, 15 grand range.
Yeah.
So worth doing. And it's totally
free. Yeah,
it's totally
free.
Fanball.com/charge. Recommend you try the Chase Charge contest.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back, tomorrow?
Yeah.
More stuff?
Yeah, we try to do one every day, three to five a week.
Almost daily. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.